Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
I'm sure that most of you here are familiar with the fact that this man was riding along in his chariot going from Jerusalem to Gaza. And he was reading from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. He was reading certain prophecies concerning the Christ. He didn't understand them at first to be of the Christ until he was joined in that chariot by a man named Philip, gospel preacher who preached unto him Christ and his kingdom, who told him about Christ and the church, who explained to him those Old Testament prophecies and how they related to Jesus and the mission of Christ and what he had done to bring about salvation. So he preached to this man about the Savior. He preached to this man about the saved. And as they continued riding along, this man finally asked the question, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Obviously, in the course of Philip's teaching, he had taught him about baptism, and now this man wanted and requested to be baptized. And Philip told him, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And then he confessed, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God," and the baptism then took place. I want us to focus our attention just for a few moments this morning, dear people, because I know that it is very applicable to a number of you who are present here at services from time to time, whom we love, in whom we have great interest and concern. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And I want to ask, what doth hinder you from being baptized? What is it that keeps people who ought to be baptized from being baptized today? Now, from time to time, we all rejoice together that all the hindrances are obviously removed, they're overcome, and someone comes with faith in their heart, having repented of their sins, to confess their Christ and to be baptized. And yet, as we rejoice over that, we are very well aware that there are many who hear the gospel and do not respond in that fashion. There are young people who have reached the age of accountability who have not yet responded. Something is hindering them. There are older people, their fathers and mothers, having already been taught that something is standing in your way from being baptized. We don't always know what those hindrances are. This particular man from Ethiopia, he no longer had any hindrance because he believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. And folks, when one truly believes that, he will do whatever it is, whatever he's called upon to do, in order to obey the Lord and enjoy the blessings that God would afford unto us. Sometimes, possibly, people are not baptized because they have not yet learned what is really valuable in life. Now, we have an appreciation for life. We love to live. We do what we can to protect our lives and to perpetuate our lives. But many people, while they're doing that, they have not yet learned what life is all about, and they don't have the proper sense of values. It's a real sad thing, and I'm sure your heart is grieved also from time to time to be made aware that some people do not really care about life much. They'll even take their own life out of despair and despondency or for whatever reason. But a lot of people do not really understand what is the true value of life, and therefore they go through life grasping after this, grasping after that, trying to add something to their life to give it some kind of meaning. But they don't really ever lay hold on what really counts. They seek after the material things. They seek after the passing pleasures of this world, maybe fame, maybe fortune, whatever it might be. The things of this world, of a materialistic nature. But dear people, we need to understand from the Creator what life is for, how precious life is, the dignity of the human being. Because he has been created by the power of the Word of God as a responsible spirit. And that spirit is housed in this physical body. And he is here for a reason and for a mission to accomplish. It's summarized quite adequately by Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Again, Jesus said in Matthew 16, what doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, you can't read those words without being aware that we have a responsibility first and foremost, above all else, to God, and a responsibility for the spiritual preservation of our spirit. Our Lord taught, Luke 12:15, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. The wise man wrote, the fear of the Lord, that is, respect for God, reverence for God, which in turn would call for submission and obedience to God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The way of righteousness, Solomon said, is life. Some people haven't learned that. Once they learn that, they will do everything that they can to preserve their spiritual well-being. Others are confused, however, as to the real need of salvation, and this is possibly what hinders even some here today. They don't feel the need to do anything about their relationship with God. They think they're good enough. You may think you're good enough. That if death overtakes you, you've got the idea, well, it's going to be all right with my soul anyway, whether I've done God's will or not. And people get that kind of attitude when, in truth, they are good neighbors. They're good citizens. They're good moral people, possibly do a lot of good things. Good father, good mother, reasonably good children, and all of that. They don't cause any trouble. They pay their taxes and all these sort of things. And they feel like, I don't have need for anything. Friend, the message of the Word of God is, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Romans 8 and verse 1. Salvation is in Christ. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. That simply means that if you are not in Christ, you do not enjoy the salvation that Jesus Christ brought. No man can be good enough to go to heaven. We cannot be saved by works or by our own righteousness, Titus 3 through 5. We cannot be saved by works of which we can boast, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. We will never earn nor merit the blessings that God gives. We are not saved by works of merit, but there are works calling for the meeting of the conditions that God has given. I want you to think with me soberly. Everybody here, those who have and those who have not as yet been baptized, think with me. If you can be saved out of Christ, then Christ wasted His time to come to this earth to live the perfect life, to suffer and bleed and die on the cross, and even to be raised from the dead. Who among us would dare affirm that Jesus Christ wasted His time? If you can be saved out of Christ, you can be saved by just being good enough. But the Apostle Paul has already spiked that when he tells us, by inspiration, all have sinned. That includes me, friend. And that includes you as well. And there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3 and verse 10. We can only be saved by and through Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That was the inspired message of the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Now you better listen to these things. Because you can't afford to go through life thinking that all is well anyway, when all is not well until you are faithful in Christ. That's the fundamental message of the New Testament. That was the epitome of the very mission that Jesus Christ came to perform. Well, what does this have to do with baptism? Well, Galatians 3 and verse 27, Romans 6, 3 and 4, both of them teach us that we are baptized into Christ. And there is no other way that the Bible teaches that a person gets into Christ except when he culminates his obedience to the Lord by being baptized. Yes, faith, repentance, confession precedes baptism, but baptism is that step that takes you from the realm of condemnation to the realm of salvation, from out of Christ into Christ. What does hinder you? Whatever it is that's hindering you, dear friend, if it's the idea that you think you're going to get to heaven anyway, please let that be dismissed from your mind, because that runs counter to everything that Jesus Christ came to accomplish in this world. Sometimes people refuse to be baptized and allowed to hinder because they do realize something that we all need to realize. They've got a false emphasis on it, and that is, there is a cost to being a Christian. And that's because the Christian life is to be a Christ-like life in the imitation of Christ, and therefore it is to be a different life from that which is lived by those of the sinful world. This simply means there are certain things we are to do. There are certain things that we are forbidden to do. There are principles to follow. There are obligations to discharge. There is work. There is worship. There is sacrifice. There is to be in our lives, in our words, in our deeds, in our thoughts, the imitation of the perfect Son of God. Sometimes some people who have been baptized give evidence that they don't realize the seriousness of the cost of being a Christian. They pacify themselves into thinking, I've been baptized and all is well. Well, it might be all well, but it may not be all that well, because there's more that follows after baptism. There is a life to be lived. And probably the greatest, most powerful weapon that the devil has in his arsenal to deceive and persuade people never to come to Christ is the inconsistencies that people can see in the lives of people who profess to be Christians, just like me and just like you, who fail to realize there is a cost to be paid. It's not that we surrender something in order to come to Christ. We have to surrender everything. Everything that we do is to be operated under the umbrella of the fact, I am a child of God by virtue of the blood of Jesus Christ. Whether it be on your job, whether it be your behavior at school, whether it be at home, or whatsoever it might be, you are to exercise yourself as a child of God. Now, nobody is going to reach perfection even after they become Christians. John 1:8-10. But sometimes people get the idea, well, I'll become a Christian after I have overcome this or after I have overcome that. Friend, you've got the cart before the horse. It's because you need to come to Christ and have strength from Him and forgiveness that you're unable to overcome some things, and you can't win the battle all by yourself. There's never been a time when man by himself has been successfully in defeating the devil, lest he has the resources that God has provided for him. Christ is our source of strength. All spiritual blessings are in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. Our victory, this refers to our spiritual victory. Paul says that is in Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:57. Now there is the possibility that some people are confused as to how much they have to know in order to be baptized. Well, friend, if you had to know everything, nobody ever would be. Because there is this matter of growth. Having come to Christ, we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior. But you're right. There are certain things you must deeply believe and understand before you are a proper subject for baptism. Obviously, you need to know and believe God is, and that Christ is His Son. You need to appreciate what we just referred to a moment ago, what some people don't appreciate. You do stand in need of salvation. You need to know that. And you need to know that you cannot save yourself by yourself. The Apostle Peter told some to save themselves, but not by themselves. He's simply referring, there are certain things that God has done, and there are certain things that now you must do in order to take advantage of what God has done. You need to know that our Lord came to this earth to provide a way, a scheme, a system, a plan, whereby we can be saved. Before one is to be baptized, he needs to understand what that's all about. He needs to understand that here is where we reach the saving blood of Christ. He needs to understand that it's not the power of any water by itself that enables us to be saved. It's the blood of Christ. The water is simply the element that God has directed into which we are to be buried. And that's when He applies the blood of Christ to our sin-stained souls. You need to understand that before you can be scripturally baptized. You don't just go and dunk people in water not knowing even what it's for. With your faith and confidence that Christ is the Son of God, you need to understand that you can no longer continue in a life of sin. You are to turn from sin. That's called repentance. And that with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And you need to understand this, and all of us, especially those of us who have been baptized, hear me well. We need to understand that baptism is just the beginning. That's not the end. It might be the end of our existence in the world, but it is the beginning of our service to God. Our new life is just beginning. You need to understand that. You may not understand all the intricate things about the government of the church. You may not understand everything about worship. You may not understand the work of the Holy Spirit. There are just a lot of things that you may not understand. But you understand you're lost so long as you don't obey, and you need to understand what you must obey, and you need to understand the significance of that obedience. And it doesn't take a long time for a person to comprehend that, dear friend. People of normal, reasonable intelligence, young people who are able to pass the subjects that they're called upon to pass in school, they can understand that. And there's nothing difficult about the way of salvation. And you need to understand, too, that you can't be saved just any way you want to be. You know, one of the tragic things of our religious world is that people are hearing all kind of answers as to how to be saved other than the answer that God has given. While you turn on your television, read in certain pamphlets, listen to your radios, and you hear people saying, why, sometimes you don't have to do anything. God does it all. Salvation is by grace alone. Friend, if that were so, there wouldn't be anybody lost. There wouldn't be any need for Christ to come. There wouldn't be any need for the Bible. What are we doing here anyway? We're wasting our time this morning. Let's all just get up and go home. If that's true, that would be a reasonable reaction. If it's all together by the grace of God, and man has no response. Man is saved by the grace of God, but not by grace only. It's one of the sad things of our brotherhood that we've got some who were once among us, have gone out from us, they're no longer among us, that are teaching that false denominational doctrine of salvation by grace alone. But there's not a word of truth in it. It's a deception and a deceit to try to get people to discount the need of them to respond in obedience. Some will come along with something just as bad, salvation by faith alone. Most denominations teach that. It's wrong. Most teach it, and there's not one among them, from the highest to the lowest, that can turn to the Word of God and find even one passage of Scripture that so teaches. And yet, that's the prominent idea in the religious world today. And if there's anybody here that thinks you can produce the passage that says we're saved by faith alone or faith only, why, just go ahead and say it right now. Or if you want to wait till after service, see me afterward. We'll deal with that. There's not a passage in the Bible that way. I've spoken over the radio here time and time again, asking these denominational clergymen. I've written letters to them. I've talked to some of them. Where's the passage? And I can produce as many passages as they can that says salvation is by faith, but not by faith only. And when people hear that and they believe that and accept that, they think they're saved, and therefore they've got the whole door closed, and they never allow the truth to penetrate their heart. Some say, place your hand on the radio. Just send in your card with your contribution, or just pray through, or go to the mourner's bench, or things of all of that nature. Here's what New Testament people were told to do and did. In Acts chapter 2, the gospel was preached to them. They believed it, and they obeyed it, being baptized. That's what they did. In Acts chapter 8, this man that I told you about, riding along the chariot, he heard the gospel, he believed it, he obeyed it, and he was baptized. In Acts chapter 8, we read about Philip going to the Samaritans. He preached the gospel to them, they heard it, they believed it, they obeyed it, being baptized. Over and over it goes like that. Acts chapter 10, here's the household of Cornelius. They heard the gospel preached to them, he believed it, he obeyed it, he was commanded to be baptized. The same thing was true of Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9, Acts 22, Acts 26. He heard the gospel, he believed it, he obeyed it, he was baptized. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Over and over again, friend, it's the same pattern. There's no confusion in the Bible. There's no confusion from the Bible. The confusion comes when men begin to inject their creeds, their doctrines, their catechism, their think-sos, their ancestors, and all of these other false standards that people use. If you're going to be saved, and if I'm going to be saved, we're going to be saved God's way. Or we won't be saved at all. Now, what does hinder you to be baptized? When you hear the gospel of Christ, and He is the Son of God, when you believe it, why not obey Him in repentance and confession and be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as taught? Let me bring just one other thing to your attention, or maybe two, very briefly. Sometimes people have gone through, and sometimes very sincerely, a religious form and ritual and ceremony, and they think they have been baptized, as the Bible teaches. There be those who, having been immersed, think they've been baptized scripturally. Not necessarily so. For if you do not understand that in baptism we reach the blood of Christ and baptism is necessary for salvation, and you're not saved until you rise to walk in the newness of life, then you haven't really rendered obedience to the New Testament teaching. You may well have been buried or immersed in water, but if you went down there and thought that you were saved beforehand, and you were baptized in order as an outward sign of an inward grace, and you think that you've already been saved, you simply, and I say this respectfully to one and all, you got wet. But you did not obey the gospel. You did not obey the teaching of Jesus Christ. You must be baptized for the reason that the Lord commanded us to be baptized. Otherwise, everybody that ever jumped in the swimming pool would just pop right back up. Why, they'd all go to heaven. Friend, you've got to have an understanding. You're to obey from the heart, Romans 6, 16 through 18. That's the seat of understanding. Why were you immersed? There be those who were when they didn't even know what was going on, just as an infant. Their parents took them, maybe sprinkled or poured water upon them. They've been told all of their lives that they were baptized. They didn't have anything to do with it whatsoever. Well, first of all, they weren't baptized because baptism is an immersion. And secondly, a person that does not have the capacity to believe and to repent and to confess Christ cannot scripturally be baptized. So that ritual through which you were taken through as an infant, as far as your relationship with God is concerned, dear friend, is absolutely worthless and meaningless. Because that's one of human institutions and substitutions for what God has commanded. What does hinder you to be baptized? Sometimes people get the idea, I'm going to be baptized, I know I need to be baptized, I intend to be baptized, but they put it off. There have been people who have put it off, but they've put it off until now. They must leave the walks of this life and stand before God in judgment unprepared because they never did render obedience. You may be like that this morning, and if you die in that state, you'll be as unprepared as they are. People need to understand that now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. If you'll read in your Bible about people who were taught and people who were baptized, the Bible will say they were baptized immediately. The Bible, they would say they were baptized straightway. The Bible says the same hour of the night. They didn't put it off. They didn't wait. Why? Because they believed the truth that was taught. A person that will just deliberately put off baptism, really, let's understand it. They don't believe it. And when they don't believe it, they don't believe the message of Christ. And friend, when you don't believe the message of Christ, in spite of all of your professions to the contrary, you don't really believe in Christ as the Son of God and as the judge of your soul. And how in the world can a person expect to be baptized that way? You have allowed, for some reason or another, things to hinder you from being baptized. Now, why? I want to tell you this. Whatever might have been the hindrance in time past, that does not justify your refusal to obey God. Whatever might have been the hindrance in time past, whatever thought, whether I touched on it today or some other, until you put that aside, you remain lost. Death will take you in that state. There's not a syllable in all of God's holy word that anyone could read for hope for your soul. Not one phrase. It's that important. It's that serious. This man asked, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" You know what about that man? He wanted to do what God wanted him to do. That's the reason he asked it. Do you really want to do what God wants you to do? If you do, whatever it is that's standing in your way from obeying the Lord, you'll put that aside. And with faith in your heart and a penitent heart, you'll come and confess that faith and be baptized. Yea, even this very hour, to rise and walk in newness of life. It may be that you have once done that in time past, but you know, God knows, and maybe the brethren know, you have not walked faithfully. You have not been paying the cost of Christianity like you should. You may have fallen away. You haven't been loyal and faithful in work and worship and manner of life. You can't go to heaven in that state. You need to be restored and can be through repentance, confession, and prayer. That's God's way. It's so simple. It's so plain. And it's so open unto us. We plead with you. What doth hinder you? Let nothing hinder you from being right with God and make all matters right.